Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number, it's actually not a one. Today's podcast number 2001. I have been saying a one first for like 1,000 podcasts. So that has been stuck in my brain. I got to fix that. So today's podcast is number 2001. The topic is Q&A. And the title is Nutrition Adjustments as Weight Change Progresses. And today we're going to look at fat loss. I'm going to come back in a couple podcasts and cover weight gain. Now, fat loss, I wanted to make that the title, not weight loss. We are talking about weight changes, but I want to talk about the goal of weight reduction via fat loss, not just losing weight. The difference there is if you just aim to lose weight, you're without intention, you could potentially lose muscle tissue, and or some of the weight that is lost is just a water weight loss. So if you adjust your carbohydrate intake in a severe way, like a severe reduction in carbohydrates, you'll just lose weight due to water retention, not actual fat loss. So I wanted to talk about how I would make adjustments with the focus being I want to maintain as much muscle as possible, and I'm not really doing the adjustments with any manipulation of water weight. I'm purely wanting fat loss. So that's what a lot of people want when they think weight loss, but it's not actually what they get. So I want to be clear on that and say that the adjustments I'm making in today's podcast that I would recommend to my clients who are trainers, the adjustments we make are focused on wanting pure fat loss, not losing muscle tissue, and not manipulating water weight just for the sake of the scale going down. So this topic actually came forth from one of my clients who is a personal trainer. Over half of my clients are personal trainers, and I really love getting to work with personal trainers because anything I do that helps them helps everybody they work with. So it's very rewarding. So very selfish of me because it feels very rewarding. So I'm motivated by that. But we were working together to develop a nutrition coaching service for them. They're going to add that to their arsenal of options that they can give clients or services, make more money, and help their clients to a better degree. So I'm showing them how I do it and saving them from all the mistakes I made, streamlining the process so that way they can do it with the least amount of time invested on their end. But it's as impactful as any amount of time would be for their clients. So they basically asked, what adjustments do you make as a person's body weight changes? And they wanted to know for weight loss via fat loss or weight gain via muscle gain. So I'm going to come back and do the muscle gain on a different one. I didn't want to add too many details into a single podcast. So what we start with is the same with everybody. Calories, protein, sugars, and timing. I've talked about this in a lot of podcasts, but you can go back to podcast 1232. It's a nutrition podcast titled Start Here, and that explains the premise and the foundation of the diet approach that I use. If you can't find that old of a podcast on whatever podcast platform you're on, you can go to our website, www.brittleirongym.com. If you scroll down on the homepage, there's the podcast player, and underneath the player are instructions on how to find older podcasts. So the first thing we start with is we track calories for consistency and appropriate amount, making sure they're not under-eating, make sure they're not overeating. We track protein, same thing, appropriate amount, not over or under. Sugars, we want to make sure that we limit the amount of sugar per day. I'm not looking for a crazy reduction, and you don't have to like avoid all sugars. Most clients, if they consume over 100 grams on a semi-regular basis when they're not paying attention to what they're doing, I'll get them to start at under 60 grams a day. And then as they progress on that, we'll go down to 80, then down to 60. For most people, I never go under 60 as like a limit. So they still get great progress. A lot of clients who still consume 80 to 100 still get great progress, depending on their total calorie intake. So if I have a client eating 4,000 calories a day, 100 grams of sugar isn't as impactful as somebody eating only 2,000 calories a day. So it's a little varied per client, but that gives you some idea of parameters. And then timing, We want to make sure our food is relatively evenly distributed throughout the day, but there's a little caveat to that, which I'll explain. So if you want to know where your numbers should be, or for a client, you can go to, again, website, www.brittleirongym.com. Go to free nutrition education. The first document on that page is titled Create Your Own Nutrition Program. You would follow those steps for yourself or for your client. And it covers what to do with body weight, activity levels, and all that stuff. So you'll know calories, you'll know protein, and you'll have a good idea of where to start then with timing. That's all for free on the website, www.brittleirongym.com, under nutrition education. So now that we have that out of the way, we're going to progress from there. If you have any questions getting that baseline met, then contact me via the homepage. There's a contact form on the bottom of the homepage. You can send me a message just saying, hey, you know, I'm struggling to get the initial part done. Can you help with that? So yes, I'll help. Now, what do we do as they're continuing to lose weight and they've lost a good bit? Things maybe are starting to kind of plateau, but we want to continue to lose more. What do we do? How do we adjust for that? So maybe they lost, I'm just making up numbers, say they lost 4 pounds over the first 2 weeks, then 2 pounds over the next 2 weeks, then you were doing pretty good at like a pound per week, and now all of a sudden you hit 2, 3, 4 weeks where nothing is budging, nothing is moving. What do we do? What do we do when it kind of stalls out, when it plateaus? The first thing is I make sure that they're actually following the parameters. So calories, for example, we have typically a range for clients. I would never give a client a singular calorie number, which you'll see like in nutrition apps. You'll plug in your information and they tell you like 1743. So 1,743 calories, which you're supposed to have every day. No way. That's ridiculous. No one's going to get that number exact on every single day. They're going to feel like they're a loser if they go slightly over. They're going to feel, you know, going under is better, which is not true. So I like to give a range. The smallest range that I typically give is 200 calories. I'll usually give more of like a 300 to 400 calorie range, but that gives you an idea of how we want to be managing our calories. So let's say, for example, we would like our weekly average to be around 1750. Well, I might give them the range of 1650 to 1850 every day, and then averages out near 1750. If I see they're constantly on the high end of that range, I'll bump that down and maybe go 1600 to 1800 to kind of push that top end down a bit. But that's usually what I do, is I give them a window aiming for a roundabout weekly average that is then controllable and we can manipulate over time. I want a weekly average because that is kind of the trending long-term thing to track. But if their daily variance is completely insane, meaning they have 1,000 calories some days, 3,000 calories other days, but their target of 2,000 calories, if that was their goal, they're like, look, I'm at the end of the week, I'm at 2,000 calories. I mean, yeah, but you have 1,000 calories in this day, 3,000 on that day, you're not going to optimize body composition because you'll have very severe deficits, very severe surpluses. So the deficits are going to cause muscle loss, water retention, overall cortisol stress. It's going to lose some fat initially, but then the body's going to become very resistant to losing fat. Then all of a sudden you have those high calorie days, the body's going to store as much as it possibly can and more to replace what you've burned on the severe low days. And you're not going to magically put on more muscle tissue because protein synthesis can only happen at a certain rate per individual. There's a lot of complications when we have too large of a variance in calories. You can control weight that way, but you're not going to optimize the way you look. And like we talked about, we want fat loss, not just water weight loss and muscle loss. We want only fat loss. So that's what we do. We look at controlling the variance in calories. If they're outside of the range that I start with, maybe I started with a 300 calorie range. If they're outside of that, I'll tell them, hey, you know, can we rein that in? Where do we get in trouble? How can we figure that out? So maybe at the end of the day, their dinner just kind of looks chaotic, and some days it's not enough, some days it's too much. I'll say, hey, can you kind of track what you're doing in the middle of the day or early afternoon so you have a better idea of how much to eat at dinner? If they eat the same kind of breakfast or a similar kind of lunch, Like, typically, you have clients, I encourage them to have two or three options for breakfast, two or three options for lunch. They already know what those calories are, the protein is. So they'll have a good idea going into dinner where they're already at. If you eat completely random foods all the time, it's going to be way more challenging because you do have to track that in an app in some way to understand where you're at, calorie and protein-wise. And you have to do that somewhere in the day, so that way at the end of the day, you end up where you're supposed to be. So if you eat more consistent known meals, it's much easier, so definitely recommend that. If you eat completely random, where you eat a random lunch out of nowhere, you got to track that to have an idea of where you're at before the end of the day. They then would go into dinner knowing what they should have, calories and protein-wise, and then they're better likely to actually hit their target range for that day. So the variance that I look for is out of every 14 days, if the person has 10 out of 14 days where they're hitting all of their numbers, meaning they're getting their calories in range, protein in range, sugars in range, and the timing is in range, and they're doing that 10 out of 14 days, they're going to see progress. 11 out of 14 would be better. 12 out of 14 is great. 13 out of 14, probably not sustainable, but good for you if you can do it. 14 out of 14, definitely not the standard, not the expectation. If you're able to do it, awesome, but that's not long-term sustainable, so we don't aim for that. But 10 out of 14 days where all the numbers are in line. What I don't want to see, and what sometimes people get confused with, is they'll have calories 10 out of 14 and protein 10 out of 14, but they're not the same 10 days. So they've actually have, if you count on the days that they had both calories and protein in range, it might only be 6 out of 14 days. So we want 10 out of 14 where everything is in range. So I'll make sure they're in their proper calorie range, protein range, sugars, and timing. That's the first thing I'm going to do. There's no point in us changing the parameters if they're not even following the parameters. There has to be some degree of accuracy and consistency for then for us to make a change on paper, actually make a change in their habits and outcome. So I'll have clients tell me that all the time, is they're, hey, you know, I think my weight isn't really going anywhere. Can I cut 200 calories out each day? And I'm like, you're not even following the current numbers. What the hell is that gonna, like, you can eat 30 oranges a day. It doesn't matter what we say. You're not doing what we're saying. So you can change it to whatever the hell you want. You're not doing the initial thing. You're probably not going to do the next thing. So we actually have to get accuracy to what we should be doing before making a change of what we should be doing actually changes what we actually do. There's a little bit of a difference there. So we have to have at least the consistency of 10 out of 14 days, everything being on track. Okay, I think I went through that pretty quick, but good. So that's the first thing. Everything's plateaued, not really making great progress. Check your current parameters of calories, protein, sugars, and timing. Make sure you're at least consistent 10 out of 14 days. If you're not, get consistent. If you are, then we'll move on to the next step. The next step would be to consider timing. If a person is very loose in their timing of calories, I will narrow that down first before I would adjust protein and calories. What I mean by timing is when they consume their calories and protein. I initially start with most clients telling them to aim for what I call a thirds approach, is the first one third of the day that they're awake. So typically, there's always 24 hours in a day, but typically people sleep 6 to 8 hours a day. So that means you're awake for 16 to 18 hours. So roughly the first one third of you being awake is like 5 to 6 hours. So in the first one third of you being awake, have a third of your calories and protein. Then in the next third of you being awake, the next 5 to 6 hours, have again a third of your calories and protein. Then in the final hours of being awake, the final third, have the final amount, the final third of your calories and protein. If we start with the thirds approach, and let's say that the person's kind of short-ranging it on the breakfast and lunch, but they're overdoing it on dinner. So I'm just making up numbers. Say they have 400 calories for breakfast, 400 for lunch, and 800 for dinner. I will try to get them to blend that out a little bit. Can we go, you know, 5, 5, 6? Something like that. Is that could be a little bit better? Yes. So that's the first thing I'll look at, is if they're doing the thirds poorly, we'll narrow that down. If they're doing the thirds well, and it's pretty balanced, but they have a definitive, very consistent training time, whether that's early morning, midday, or evening. If they're typically training 99.9% of the time, always at one time, whichever one third of the day that that training falls into, whether it's the first 5 to 6 hours, the middle 5 to 6 hours, or the last 5 to 6 hours, I will promote them to push more calories and protein into that time frame. So we go from the thirds method, where everything's evenly distributed throughout the day, to a half quarter quarter, which means we want to push towards about half of our calories and protein coming during the time block window, the 5 to 6 hour window, that they also work out. So if they work out in the morning, we want to have half of our calories and protein in the morning, 5 to 6 hours, then a quarter of our calories and protein in the midday, and a quarter of our calories and protein in the end of the day. Same thing as if they work out in the middle of the day, that's when we would have half. The other time zones would have the quarter. If they work out in the evening, we have half. That means the morning and midday have a quarter. But we'll switch to that time timing first before I change calories and protein, because that tends to then push progress, but they don't have to eat less. They just have to kind of modify when they're eating. It's a much easier change, and it's enough to often push a little bit of progress. Second thing is, once we make the timing adjustment and that's maybe still not working, I would then consider protein. I would look at adjusting protein, making sure that it's around 33% of their total intake of the day. Depending on the client, it can be varied somewhere between 25 to 40%, but in general, 33%, a third of your calories coming from protein is a good kind of percentage. And that allows for enough carbs and fats for you to have good energy and to have enough fuel to process events such as building muscle tissue, daily activities, but it's not so much protein that you don't have enough calories and fats that you feel like crap all day, basically. So what we do is we aim for around a third of the total calories coming from protein. If it has been higher than that, maybe they've been consuming around 40%, then I'll reduce the protein, and that'll help provide more carbs and fats, which actually can help speed up fat loss because they may have been in too large of a deficit for carbs and fats, and that was causing their body to prioritize body fat and actually not being willing to let go of the existing body fat. If their protein was lower than that, then they may have been at a proper caloric amount, but they actually could have still been in a surplus of carbs and fats because there wasn't enough protein. So we'll boost the protein up to that one third. That then limits the carbs and fats and can create a proper energy deficit, which can push for more fat loss. So we adjust timing, we adjust protein, then the last thing I'll adjust is calories. Typically, before I reduce calories, I'll reduce the window of variance. So if I allow them to have a 400 calorie variance per day, we'll drop that to 300, then 200. And that's often enough to push for progress as well. On the basically what I want to do is, if I need to then adjust calories, so we've adjusted timing, we've adjusted protein, I've gotten their calorie window down to 200 calories range per day. Okay, if that's still not working, that's not adjusting anything, then we'll go ahead and make a caloric reduction with the intent of reducing the weekly average by 50 calories. So maybe they average 1750 calories a day. We're going to bump that down to 1700. We're going to do that for 2 weeks at least. Some clients, I'll have them do a little like longer, like 4 weeks. It just kind of depends on their mindset. Sometimes people, you know, get a little nervous with change, so I let them sit in the change a little bit longer before I push them again. But 2 to 4 weeks, we'll have that reduction, and then we keep tracking the body weight. If the body weight isn't moving, and we have 3 weeks, which is 6 weigh-ins, because I have clients send me their weights on Mondays and Thursdays. So we have a Monday and a Thursday, and it's like, oh, hey, you know, that didn't really move anywhere from last week. So we had last Monday and last Thursday, then this Monday and this Thursday, so that's 4 weigh-ins. And we're like, nah, you know, nothing really seems to be moving. We're not getting within a pound change over the 2 weeks. It's like, okay, well, let's try one more week. Let's give the body a little bit of time. Maybe it's overly stressed. The female, maybe you're coming into your menstrual cycle, so you might be holding more water retention. So we'll give it a third week, which then means a fifth and a sixth body weight measurement. And if in across those 6 measurements, we're not seeing a pound of change, then I will go ahead and make that calorie adjustment. It depends on the client. Some clients, they're more cautious. They have eating disordered eating backgrounds. So you have to kind of take this with a grain of salt and change it around a little bit. But this is the general parameters. Is if I've had Monday and Thursday weigh-ins, and we have six weigh-ins in a row, then we haven't had greater than a pound of change across those six, we have to change something. So that's like for sure, we're going to change the timing, the protein, the calories, start getting that 50 calorie on the weekly average reduction. From there, I'm also going to double check how they measure their foods. Maybe we're measuring something incorrectly. Going to double check that they're tracking all the calorie containing foods. I can't tell you the number of times where people will tell me that they're tracking everything, and then I find out that they're having a soda in the afternoon and iced tea with lunch, and they're just not counting like liquids. I literally have had one client tell me that they thought clear sodas didn't have calories. So they were drinking Sprite and 7-Up like a madman, like 2 liters a day, wondering why they weren't making progress. And I'm just like, there's no freaking way, given the numbers and your activity, that we're not making progress. Like something's up. Can you send me a photo of all your foods for the next couple days? And one client I saw that like in their diet, they were supposed to have 50 grams of carbohydrates from either potatoes or rice. Well, they were just weighing out 50 grams weight of potato or 50 grams weight of rice. And it's like, no, we wanted 50 grams worth. So the serving size would be adjustable, so we had 50 grams of carbs coming out of those. So that was one thing we had to figure out. There was that client who had the clear soda doesn't have any calories approach to life. it's wild. You'll see quite a bit. And then I'll also encourage them to have blood work done if they haven't had that done, just to check and see where their thyroid's at, where the hormones are at, just make sure we're playing with a system that is operational and optimal. Then, if none of that seems to help, which is very rare, I mean, everything I just said will damn near fix 99.9% of things. So if none of that is working, then their body's probably just burned out and it's resistant. It's adjusted its metabolism to now meet the caloric demand and it's just shut down. It's not giving up anything. So you have to go through a metabolic rebuilding phase, which means we increase the weekly average by 50. And we do that every 2 weeks. Sometimes I'll wait 4, you know, if the client's a little nervous about it, but we'll adjust every 2 weeks, get the weekly calorie average up by 50. And then what happens is typically we'll do that until their weight increases by 2%. So if they started and they were stalled out at 150, like 1% of that is 1.5 pounds. So 2% is 3 pounds. So I'll let them... We'll bump our calories up 50 a week, 50 a week, 50 a week. I mean, every 2 weeks, 50 every 2 weeks, 50 every 2 weeks, 50 every 2 weeks, until they'll gain 2%. So they'll go from 150 to 153. When they hit 153, then we start cutting again. We start bringing the calories back down. What you can find is you may have done, 300 calorie reduction over time. They've plateaued. Now we start refeeding, and they might actually refeed up to like 400 or 500 calories. And then all of a sudden their weight starts to go up. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. You can now eat 100 to 200 calories more than the last time you had this body weight. So we've built muscle tissue. We've improved the metabolism. So then we start cutting down and we have to cut maybe that same 300, 400 as last time, but it didn't go as low. So they may have started the diet at 1,800, went down to 1,400 and stalled out. We then go back up to 2,000, but then only back down to 1,600 before they like reach their goal or the body starts to give us trouble or like stall out again. So you then build back up to 2,200, then drop down to only 1,800. And by the end of the diet, they might be eating what they were eating before, but now they're 15, 20 pounds lighter, better muscle definition, better daily energy, better digestion quality, and everything's just so much better. That happens all of the time. Is that people are able to end up in a similar place calorically than they were when they started, but they have a much leaner physique, much better energy, much more muscle, more strength, everything's going well. So it's very fun. Like that's a really true metabolic rebuild where you can get them in their pre-dieting calories at their new dieting stage of progress. Really fun stuff. So that is a summary of the adjustments that we would make as somebody's aiming for fat loss, if they're starting to plateau. So like I said, is you just refine everything, make sure they're in their parameters at least 10 out of 14 days. If they're doing that okay, try to get them to 11 or 12. Then you would adjust timing. Make sure they're within the one-thirds concept. If they're doing that well, move to the half-quarter-quarter. Protein, get that to around 33% of their daily intake. Then calories, you want to get it down to a 200 calorie per day range, and then start to adjust by 50 calories per week down if you need to continue to push for progress. If that's not causing anything to happen, then we actually go the 50 calories up, do the metabolic rebuild till they gain 2% of their body weight, and then we start cutting back down again. I realize now that in my mind, I thought I made that simple. That's actually relatively simple. I do think that can be simple. It's complex and nuanced, and as you practice it a couple times, it'll become more clear. So the first time you play around with all this stuff, you're going to have fear that you don't know what the hell you're doing. But if you follow these steps, it's going to work. It works every freaking time. So these would be great steps on how to adjust the diet for fat loss as the client progresses and or plateaus. So I thought that was helpful. Nice little quick kind of like cheat sheet on how to go about doing that. And this is the stuff that I love teaching the trainers in the business client service is I'll teach them how to do nutrition counseling. Nutrition coaching. Very different things. But nutrition coaching will teach this service. They can now help their clients better with nutrition advice and nutrition adjustments. They make more money. Clients gets better progress. Everybody's happier. So if you were a trainer and you would like to learn how to do nutrition coaching, that's exactly what I can teach you. Let me know. Reach out on the website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can go to our one-on-one services page and view the business client option, or you can just shoot me a message from the homepage. Let me know you're interested and I'll send you the details. But this is awesome. You're going to make a ton of money, be able to help a lot of people if this is something you want to do. So let me know if you're interested. Okay, hopefully that was helpful. If you have any questions, always feel welcomed and encouraged to reach out. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast. It does have a high hosting cost every year and all these extra little fees. So if you want to donate towards that, I appreciate the people who do now currently. Sincerely appreciate that because it really helps buffer some of that cost. So thank you very, very much. I really want to do this podcast for free till the end of time. So I will try to eat the cost as long as I possibly can, but I really do appreciate the people who donate. Even if it's $5 a month, it really adds up and it really does help. So thank you very much. If you like the information we share in the podcast, you can always find much more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful and thank you for listening.